So do you go bananas when you hear the origin of an expression? And are you pleased as punch to explore the world of idiom? Then I can tell you that our next guests are definitely the best thing since sliced bread. Olivia Rosenman and Helen Reisrand are the expressionists, about to kick off season two of their podcast dedicated to lifting the lid on the strange expressions that pepper our speech. Helen and Olivia, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are we both well?
Very well.
Congratulations on making it all the way through to season two. Very excited about that. I want to say early that you're doing a bit of a party to celebrate around November 2.
Yeah, we like to mark things. So we've got a little launch party happening at the Duck Inn Pub and Kitchen in Chippendale. Anyone can come along to that. We're going to do a bit of a live idiom chat.
There'll be some prizes.
Yeah, door prize.
Sure, okay. Prizes.
Lucky door prize.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. That's it.
So what are we looking at for the opening of season two?
Well, our first episode of season two will be released the day after the party on Friday the 3rd. And that is, of course, just a few days before the race that stops the nation.
Or at least pauses one city, but go on. Yeah.
That's right. So the Melbourne Cup is the following Tuesday. So we thought we'd take the opportunity to talk all things horses. And there are a remarkable number of horse idioms in our language.
A lot.
Yes. It's quite astounding.
So many. So in just horse racing ones, there's like across the board, mm-hmm. horse racing. Also ran. You can be an also ran.
Mm-hmm.
Win hands down. Down to the wire, win by a nose, dark horse, home stretch, back the wrong horse.
And then general horse idioms, to beat a dead horse, to put a horse out to pasture, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, eat like a horse, a one-horse town, chomp at the bit, don't change horses midstream. I mean, the list goes on, and I think something that's really interesting about that is it just shows how important horse racing is in the English culture. So we did a bit of research about the history of it, Nick.
Oh, the history of horse racing. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Good, good, good.
So horse racing was part of the Olympic Games. It was a big thing in Roman kind of sporting events, I suppose, both with chariots and without. Other civilizations from China through to Arabia and North Africa had their own horse racing as well. And in Australia, thoroughbred horse racing is the third most patronised sport after the AFL and the rugby league.
So the first horses in Australia arrived with the first fleet.
They did. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what, 1788? And not even 20 years later, they'd held their first horse race here in Sydney in 1810. So they had their priorities pretty set.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It kind of says something as well about how much, the domestication of the horse changed the future of the path of society and civilization.
Yeah, very much.
Don't you kind of feel sorry for the horse,
oh,
though?
Oh, massively
like
so.
They just really drew the short straw.
I kind of want to, throw it out there, though I'm not a huge horse racing fan in any way, shape or form.
Well, the expressionists are right there with you, Nick. We find the whole thing a little bit weird.
It's a little distasteful, isn't it? Yeah. But I just, when you said you wanted to talk horse idiom for a while, I did all of 7 seconds research and was immediately overwhelmed by just how much there is.
Yep. That's been our past few days / weeks as well, trying to kind of, how do you choose between all these great idioms? I mean, it's given us that at least. It's given a lot of great idioms.
So I did a little bit, and the lead a horse to water, but mm-hmm. can't make him drink or make it drink, is very interesting to me because it's always sounded a little bit like, well, people have to come to their own conclusions. But the origin of that, and apparently is one of the oldest idioms in the English language, is who can give water to the horse that will not drink of its own accord?
Ah, so the one that we use is like a modern
translation of it. Yeah, because that was actually back in Old English. I have the Old English. I'm not going to attempt to say it. It's going to sound like I'm speaking through marbles. But that seems to me to almost have a slightly different meaning as well. It's more exasperated than I'm allowing someone to come up with their own conclusions.
Mm. Definitely.
Yeah, well, that's definitely something that we have found over the course of our first season is the way that these idioms do actually slightly change meaning. And something that I've found with horse idioms is, so what do you think long in the tooth means, Nick?
Well, I think it means a little elderly, a little beyond your prime.
And you would be correct, but I feel like a lot of people these days use long in the tooth to mean, oh, you're looking a little bit down or sad.
Ah.
I feel like I've heard people use it like that. Maybe
people say, why the long face?
Yeah, well, right? Maybe that's one of these, what and we've discovered, malaphors. So where people mix two metaphors. So maybe that is what I've heard people mixing up, long in the face and long in the tooth.
Malaphor.
Mm. Olivia's really into this.
It's my favourite.
Is that an actual term or did you make that up?
No, I read about it on the Oxford Dictionary blog, which is a great resource and I would recommend to everyone. But no, it's totally a thing. And people do it all the time.
Yeah, malaphors are wonderful. I can't think of any off the top of my head. Annoyingly, I wish I'd known about that because some of them are just incredible. You hear someone say a phrase and you're like, that does not mean what you think that means. Yep. Any way, shape or form.
One that I have heard is every cloud has a silver spoon in its mouth.
That is a good one. Yep. I like that.
It's not rocket surgery.
Rocket surgery is a classic kind of, I think, deliberate one. It's like, you know, the world's your oyster, men and women merely players.
Wait, what is that?
I have not heard that one. That's fantastic.
Look, it is going to be an absolutely fun second season. People can, of course, catch up on first season. How?
Well, there are many ways. There are many ways. On any podcast player, just search for The Expressionist, you'll find us. We are now on Stitcher. We are on TuneIn. So if you have an Amazon Alexa, you can say, Alexa, play the latest episode of The Expressionist, and it will play. So I hope that whoever's listening at home just got their our latest episode there, which is all about the same-sex marriage plebiscite and the debate. So it's a good episode to catch up on if you haven't caught any of them yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and season two will provide plenty of food for thought, I'm sure.
Indeed, yes.
Indeed. Fantastic. So can people come along on November 2nd?
We would love them to.
Absolutely wonderful. Yeah, and of course, from November 3, they can grab the brand first episode of season two.
Indeed.
Now, I'm pretty excited because we want to do this semi-regularly, so I will have both of you back in, around about fortnight's time?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Mm. Helen and Olivia, thank you so very, very much. Do check out The Expressionist. As you just heard, there's pretty much, you could list more places it's not available than everywhere you can find it.